This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to the Who Are You Wearing podcast. I am your clothes and style obsessed host, Kira Pritchard-McLean. I'm a comedian by day. I am an obsessive secondhand thrifter and stalker of the fashionable on Instagram by night. Now, episode 6 of series 3 is just one of the goodest eggs I know. And the face of her own actual range as well with Regatta. It is actor, author and all-round talent machine, Giovanna Fletcher. Now, I really love this episode because, well, it feels like G's journey with dressing for herself and then dressing for the male gaze and then back to dressing as herself. That feels like such a familiar journey, and I'm sure you guys are going to relate to that. This episode was recorded in March of 2023, and Giovanna was at home, and I was sat in front of a rail of clothing, which always looks really tidy because people cannot see that behind the camera on the laptop is a 2-foot-high floor drobe, and that is actually why the sound is so good. It's incredibly damp from all the clothes on the floor. Oh, I'm so delighted that G made time in her wildly busy schedule of being a full-time and like actual star of stage and screen, being a fundraiser, being a brilliant man, to have this chat. And you know what? I'm glad I finally got to have the full Sienna Miller conversation with someone. It was in the post because of my age, but we do have the chat there. Please sit back in your comfies, I think is best. Relax, get in the mood, and listen to me asking Giovanna Fletcher, who are you wearing?
I can remember me and my sister used to have this like Looney Tunes set, which was just like a t-shirt and a pair of shorts, but it was matching. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel, I can remember it making me feel fun and included because me and my sister were wearing, you know, the same sort of thing. So I would say that is definitely up there with my earliest memories of putting something on. And it's not, you know, fancy. I think we're on holiday. That's probably part of it. Mm. Being somewhere different and, you know, knowing that that was the shift of this is an outfit to relax in. This is an outfit to go and explore and have fun in. Plus, it had Looney Tunes on it. So it was branded and we didn't really have things like that. So to have something that was probably a bit more token felt really important. I can remember, fast forward to a little while later, throwing up in the car over that outfit. But at the time when I first started wearing it, it was magical.
Is it one of those ones where you have like a pattern on the t-shirt that's picked up on the leggings or the cycling shorts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Bring them back. Absolutely. We would all, women our age would all buy those.
I know. So I know. So are we good. Back with like, are we back with cycling shorts yet? Are we back with the neon?
Yeah, they came in
stuff?
For a bit and then they left again because it galloped forward to Y2K fashion, which I'm fuming about coming back. The worst one.
I mean, cycling shorts should just be brought back like for good,
yeah,
I think.
I totally agree. Did you have a strong sense of style as a kid? Like, did you like, I like that and I want to wear this? And
I think so I've been thinking about this, and I went through definite phases. I would wear baggy jeans, like a baggy denim shirt, and different, like, varying waistcoats over the top. So whether they were like leather waistcoats or like a more woolly pattern, and I'd match them with like chunky DMs, and my hair would be all curly and all over the shop. And I don't know what that was, because I wouldn't have said, I mean, that was my style. Mm. That was, you know, that was who I was, and no one else around me was wearing anything like that. But I think it's only actually in adulthood that I've realised that fashion and style are two totally different things.
Yep.
It became like a massive eye-opener to me, like, you know, to kind of go, oh, that's actually how you express who you are and how you're feeling, and it can have such a massive impact on your mood. So, to, you know, we can't follow the catwalk or fashion to lead us, you know, in terms of how we're feeling about ourselves. I think there were times in my childhood where that changed. You know, it was no longer about comfort or wearing what I felt was good for me. You know, suddenly I was working in certain places or going to certain things, like the under 18 discos, and, you know, the skirts got a lot shorter. I was talking to someone yesterday actually about going to Iron Apple when I was 17, and the skirts were so short, and we used to wear tops that were essentially hankies folded in half.
Yes.
That were turned into triangles. No, yeah. Bras underneath. I mean, I didn't have big boobs anyway. But, you know, just literally you're wearing a hanky to keep yourself, you know, just a bit of modesty. But then I think back at that time, actually, of being a teenager, and, you know, back in the day, we all got into clubs and stuff underage. I don't think that's, you know, hopefully it's different now that I've got kids. But, you know, and I can remember there was one occasion where we went to a club, and it was a beach party night, and I remember we weren't meant to go there. We'd just been to like the local pub and we'd had a drink, and on the way to the station we were like, oh, let's just go into Duke's and have a good old dance. And Pat the bouncer was like, sorry ladies, you can't come in, you're wearing jeans, and it's beach night. So what we did is we went around the bins. We took our jeans off, took our vest tops down to turn our vest tops into skirts, and just went in with our bras on.
Oh my God. How old were you?
Yeah, I would have been 17. But I think there was just a massive shift, though, of, you know, if you think about the girl who would wear double denim and the waistcoats and stuff and just be completely comfortable with who she was, there was a shift of, this is actually how people dress. This is, we're no longer dressing just for ourselves. Although we felt good in it because of other people's reactions to how we looked in it. You know, I think that was a massive shift. And now I've gone all the way. Yeah, literally don't give a shit what anyone thinks of the things I wear. It's a reflection of how I'm feeling, how I want to feel. And I think realising that whole style and fashion thing, which was only about 10 years ago, it literally just blew my mind and just made me super relaxed about what others perceive. You know, I don't want to wear all the creams or, you know, all the things that people are telling me that I need to wear. That's not doing anything for my mood, for anything. I feel like fashion is a fun, or style is a fun thing now, and that you can play around with.
Absolutely. There's a great quote from someone, I think they were an editor of Vogue, which is something along the lines of, fashion can be bought, but style one must possess. And I always think about that, about, you know, you can follow the trends and buy the clothes, but style comes from within. And it sounds like you were having that journey of, when you're in your big curly hair and your waistcoats, you're validating yourself by dressing for you. And then there does become a bit, I think, a lot of women in particular, as teenagers, click into that thing where they go, right, I need validation from outside. And some people, I don't think, ever escape that.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though the style thing, you know, there would be the question of, do you have style? Well, everyone's got a style. Mm. It's your style, hopefully, you know. It's just whether it's to everybody else's taste.
Mm. And I think, you know, because you're hugely beloved and well-known, lots of the people you know are as well, I see it more where women with some kind in the public eye, I think there's a greater pressure on them to have a certain style or homogenise their style. You know, like, you can wear a dodgy outfit on a night out and you're not going to appear in, like, you know, if you're not on telly or whatever, in Heat magazine with someone going, look at the state of them, or who wore it best, or that kind of thing. So this is, I think, to stay true to yourself as you're doing is great.
I think, though, because I've never particularly been fashionable, I escape all of that. You know what I mean? I'm not on trend. I'm not, you know, I'm not wearing the outfits that they want to sell. So I actually, I do sidestep that. Like, I feel really lucky to, unless that's just never been forwarded to me.
I've never seen it. This isn't my way of being like, I've got a spreadsheet to show you.
Guys, yeah. I think I found it more difficult when I was just the girlfriend of, you know, now that I feel like, because I feel like that's a narrative that you have no control over. You know what I mean? Like if you're having your picture taken or whatever, whereas now maybe I think about it in a really different way. Like, this is part of my job now. So like, going to those events, I quite like getting dressed up. Plus, I have a stylist for those things. You know, day to day, I'll wear all of my baggy things, like my dungarees and whatever else I want to wear, and I'll wear all the colours. When it comes to those bigger, you know, those TV appearances or going on a red carpet, whatever, I hire someone to help me with that. People actually know what they're doing in that way, and they absolutely love it. Then I'm always someone who I will totally trust that other person's opinion, because I like their work, you know, I like what they've done with other people, and it's fun. I literally see it as a chance to dress up. That's not what I'm like every single day. But yeah, if you want to put me on a red carpet and put some feathers on me, amazing. Let's do that. You know what I mean?
As a kid then, who was dressing you? Was it your mum? Was it cousins? Was it your sister? Who was having a big influence on the outfits you were wearing?
Definitely my sister. My sister, although 2 years older, was always smaller than me. She was always the skinny one. I was always the curvier one. So pretty quickly, like, nothing of hers fit me. Like, the whole stealing things from your sister's wardrobe thing just didn't happen with us. But we did used to take, my mum used to have a fake fur coat and like loads of heels. We used to take them out into the garden and we'd just stomp around in those for ages. So mum's big 80 stuff really did impact us and what we wanted to wear. But really, I mean, we'd go down to the shops like CNA and the market and stuff, and it would be what was there. You know, mum had a big say in what we were wearing a lot of the time. I think the fun was going over to cousins' houses and things though, and dressing up and putting on shows. And maybe that's part of why I like acting. You know, you step into these clothes of other people that you wouldn't necessarily wear yourself, and you can, you know, just play for a little while. Certainly my sister was someone who I looked up to in terms of her fashion. But I think it was more a case of what was accessible to us rather than looking at other people and kind of going, I want to dress like that person.
Were you ever made to put on anything that you hated?
No, I think I was quite compliant, to be honest. We always used to do the matching outfits for like Christmas Day and stuff, which we always loved. Can't remember ever wearing anything or ever kicking back about stuff. I mean, I'm sure my mum would say the opposite. But no, and even then, like, even though I loved all my baggy stuff, and still now I love all my baggy stuff, in lots of ways I'm the same. I love putting on a nice dress for an event. You know what I mean? And it's funny that I would be the same back then for like Christmas days or birthdays, and like with big poofy, you know, shoulders and things like that. And I'm the same now. Like, I want to be comfy and I want to be able to explore the world and go on adventures in my day-to-day life. But if we're going out somewhere, yeah, pop me in something that, you know, as long as I can breathe in it. I don't like any clothes that I can't, you know, that restrictive or whatever. Yeah, I don't think I've ever been put in anything. My mum ever put me in anything that was that I kicked back on, which I find really interesting, because you would think the baggy clothes and stuff was to try and cover up, or, you know, but I didn't mind all that other side of it.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I normally ask people if they had a rebellious stage and if it showed up in their style, but it sounds like you were just sort of happily going along.
Well, I don't know though. My short skirts and handkerchief tops might have been a part of something. And also that was around the same time that my mum and dad separated, you know, so I think there was definitely, you know, if we're talking about validation and things like that, I think definitely the outfits that were being worn at that time, and it fell into my single time. You know, me and Tom went out when we were 15 to 16, and then we had some time apart and then got back together when I was 18. So we'd had this 2 years of, you know, I was going out and meeting people and having fun and dancing. And I do think a large part of that reflected in what I wore, because 2 years later, I was back in, you know, little like crop tops and like army trousers. So, you know, it was back to being comfy and you know, not even looking at those short skirts and things like that. You know, I've never even thought about that before, but I do think that that was definitely part of it. Although I can remember, so when I was 18, we went to Namibia for a month. We were staying in an orphanage and we did loads of trekking. We had no phone signal whatsoever. It was, you know, back in the day where you would not take your mobile anywhere anyway, not abroad. And I can remember coming back and looking at these neon heels that I'd worn previously and all these outfits and being like, what the fuck? Like, what is life? Like, what are you doing? Like, you've just been there and, you know, seen all these things and you're about to put on this silly little outfit, you know, so that you can go into a, like, a bar and talk, like, what are you doing? You know, and just this weird kind of thing in my head, which I think is good. I think it's good to have those moments that kind of make you go, you know, who are you doing it for?
That's a huge moment to have at that age. So it's taken lots of people I know, and myself included, into, like, your 30s to have that conversation. So, well done. Was there an outfit or an item of clothing that you put on then as a kid or a young person that you just never wanted to take off? You felt like you in.
I used to love these really baggy jeans. They were French Connection, so they weren't cheap. So it would have been early 2000s. And I just absolutely loved the freedom that came with them. I think the baggy phase, weirdly, gave you like a grounded down energy, like All Saints. And it makes you feel internally grounded in a way. So the baggy jean thing was definitely, and just the comfort. I don't like wearing, even now when I'm writing and stuff, I can't wear things that dig into squidge or make me feel aware of anything other than what's in front of me. Like, I need to be comfortable. And so it may be like the baggy jeans, although I did team them up for quite a long time with these oversized woolly ponchos, which I absolutely loved. And a baby was sick on me, not my baby. I was only 17, 18, first year at uni at this point, so I'm doing my own washing. And I can remember phoning Tom in floods of tears, like, like proper hyperventilating. He's like, what's wrong? What's wrong? I've shrunk the poncho. The poncho was so shrunk. I'm not even joking. And my mum was like, bring it over, see what I can do. This poncho originally was like over a metre long, well over a metre long. And by this point, it was 30 centimetres. Like, I had singed that thing, you know, but and it was definitely that item of clothing, you know, that made me feel warm and safe, and it was a treat, you know. Again, it was another French Connection piece, and it was a treat to have that. And the other side of it is, so I've worked from the age of 13. I've worked in a florist, I've worked in Debenhams, in gyms, on like the bar. Like, I've done so many different jobs. So those items of clothing that I would have bought, I would have saved up for a long time to get them. So, you know, I was never someone who was frivolous with, and I'm still not frivolous with just collecting things or whatever, or, you know, have mum and dad pay for things. I think I was very aware of the pressure of having three kids or whatever else. So for me to have those items, it felt like a massive deal. And then to shrink one beyond any help was, it was like a death of the poncho.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It took me a long time to get rid of it. In fact, I'm not sure if I've even got rid of it. And this is 20 years later. I think it's probably still in a box somewhere.
Or you waiting for the technology to evolve, like Walt Disney, you know, being defrosted, and so the technology's there where we can repair wool that's been boiled.
Exactly.
What were the big trends when you were a teenager, and did you go in for them, or were you like packaging it into what you wore anyway, or were you just keeping away from them?
Well, so when I was a teenager, Sienna Miller was at her prime with her boho bohemian style, and I definitely lent into that, actually. So I was very much wearing the floaty frilly skirts and the little vest tops, and my hair's curly anyway, but it was curly and long. To the point where I can remember having acting shots done, and the guy taking the photos was a bit like, are you going to brush your hair? No, this is my style. So I definitely leaned into that. But again, it's interesting, isn't it? So around the same time, you probably would have had the Daisy Dukes, and I didn't lean into that side of stuff. So it was still kind of leaning into it, but this floaty version, this more comfortable version of it. I wore a lot of black, actually. So I never went full on Sienna Miller and wore all the like nice I would say she was quite light in her, you know, colour template. But I wore a lot of black, a lot of floaty stuff, I would say, and happily leaned into that.
Did you wear those big belts, which were sort of like pleather discs?
Yes, I did. I did. Yes, absolutely. Elasticated ones, I did.
Yes.
That are right around the actual waist.
Yeah.
Yes, I did. I mean, they were great. They were great.
They're due
What would you bring back if you could bring anything back
from that? See, I never went for that era. I think I would bring back. It was quite big around when I was about 15 or 16 in my group anyway to wear. And Pop, which is sort of like a vintage boutique thing, at corduroy flares. And I remember them being incredibly comfortable. And yes, eventually you would chub rub away the inside leg because corduroy is not great for a chub rub. But I remember feeling like, as a, you know, quite a curvaceous girl, it gave you a great shape. They were really comfy. They weren't that expensive. They were well made. Yeah, I would.
But that's the thing, isn't it, with fashion? Like, things come along and they make you go, ah. Oh. This is for my body. Like, I should be wearing this. And then the time goes on.
Yeah.
Like, everything moves on and all of a sudden that's not there anymore. I can remember skinny jeans coming in and I resisted them for years and years and years and was like, no, they are not going to be flattering. They, you know, they're tight. Like, what is that? And then eventually succumbing and being like, oh, actually, they're quite nice.
Yeah, they're great.
As long as they're not, you know, low-waisted, we're good, you know. But I think I do battle things like that, you know, if they're in fashion and just being a bit like, I'm not following that.
So your style now, which I see as sort of like, there's always loads of colour and it always looks like kind of what you said there of like, I always think you look like you're always ready for fun and always ready for an adventure. Like when it's not like red carpet stuff, it's like you're like a, and I mean this as a compliment, it's like Dora the Explorer. Like the vibe is like backpack on, ready to go. And I obviously, like, because I know you through the trek and stuff, it will have skewed slightly, but just when I see you sort of like, you know, bits from your Instagram and stuff around your family and your farm, and like it just seems like fun, like joyous clothing, but also like nothing that's gonna, like you say, make you feel uncomfortable. So when did you feel like that was your thing and that started appearing?
I don't know. When did that start happening? I'd say it's been over 10 years. You know, I think pregnancy has a massive effect on your style and stuff as well. I definitely have a point about 6 months after each pregnancy where I'm like, you have to get rid of the elasticated waist now. You have to get rid of the you know. But I'm back in it, Lucy and Yak, to amazing elasticated trousers. And it's all good. I think definitely, I've always had it since writing. And that's been, I've been writing now for about 11 years. So I don't really know when it started because we were definitely in skinny jeans in the mid to late noughties. I don't know. I think it's when you discover certain brands, like discovering Lucy and Yak and getting a pair of trousers and going, whoa, you know. And then first of all, like, I used to have these Lucy and Yak trousers that were quite wild. They were green and yellow and they had like this sunshine on them. And it was a gorgeous print, but I would only ever wear them in the house. You know, so you have that thing that you're like, I'm wearing in the house, but I'd spend most of my time in the house, you know, writing and doing stuff. So it's all fine. And then suddenly kind of going, but this is who I am. And I can go outside in these nice funky trousers and, you know, and that's all great. I think the more you just show people who you are, the freer you feel. Mm. Do you know what? I think Instagram stories and things like that, even though I felt a bit when Instagram stories came around because all of a sudden you were really seeing people, not just this one photo. You were seeing, oh my God, that person's got a voice. Mm. Oh my God, that's what that person looks like when they're not just showing me the best side of their face. By the way, your whole face is your face. You know, when people ask me, is this photo okay? I'm like, it's my face. Like, what? What's my feedback here? You know, I think that kind of meant that people had to, you had to just show people who you are and not really care as much because that's what stories are. It's raw and it's, you know, it's more in the moment. So unless you're going to go and get changed before you record anything ever, I feel lucky that I show who I am and that I feel like there's a freedom that comes with that. I would hate to have to put on a facade of who this is, you know, I've got to go put on this now, you know, and because I can't show anyone. You know, I can't show anyone in me in my dungarees or whatever. Interestingly, so I do I used to, we're in between series at the moment, but I used to host the Baby Club for BBC.
Yeah.
BBC will not let you wear dungarees because it, because it feeds into the stereotype of what a children's presenter will look like. So I look more like a children's presenter off telly than when I'm on telly.
That's so funny. That's so good.
Maybe it's having kids as well, that sense of freedom and fun and just wanting to just, I don't know, explore.
It's a lovely thing. It's a great thing. Because I think it's, I always think the best style, best fashion, whatever, gives you a shorthand to what that person is, and it, you know, tells you something about them, or tells you something about what they want to tell the world about themselves. And I think yours is like, I'm ready, I'm up for fun, let's do it, let's go, which is really nice.
I love that a lot. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Of hair and makeup as part of the outfit?
Yeah, I absolutely do. You know, going, looking back to, I can remember Mum taking us out to get our hair done, and we'd had it put in rollers, and it came out and it all looked like Shirley Temple and it looked amazing. And then Mum did a bad thing and she brushed my sister's hair just to kind of like smooth out a bit, and all the curls fell. And in that moment, I knew it was coming. I was going to have my hair brushed. So then we were the same. Remember, like, no, but it's my outfit. It's my look. But it definitely is part of it. And I think hair makes you feel just as good as your clothes, I would say. You know, it becomes a big part of your identity as well. Like you with your hair. Your hair is a massive part of your identity, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's your look and your style. So I had a shoot a little while ago where I wasn't my normal lady, and she burnt off loads of my hair with a curling iron.
Oh my gosh.
She didn't tell me about it. It was only a little while later, I was like, what is this little piece of hair? So I've been trying to grow it out and then keep it short to go with it. But I think it's interesting looking back at photos. I think when you have your hair cut off, and you look, for me anyway, when I first had my hair cut off and I loved it, looking back at photos of me with long hair makes me go a little bit, oh, well, she looks a bit sad there. Like, look at all that hair dragging her down. Mm. You know, it's that weird thing. But now I'm kind of like, well, I might like to grow it a little bit, but make it healthier. But I would absolutely incorporate it all in one. My mum told me I was allergic to makeup when I was younger. So I mean, she didn't do it to my sister, but she told me I was allergic to makeup. But it was only when I was in year 11, so 16, and I started wearing like clear mascara or putting a bit of gel on my eyebrows. And nothing happened. And I was like, what is going on?
That's such a clever
lie. It's such a clever lie.
Such...
It's so good. But it meant that I didn't do any of the experimenting that people do with makeup. You know what I mean? Mm. So I feel like I stick to a style, like I don't really deviate from it. Which is fun when I'm doing a show, actually, because I will deviate and have a bit more eye or a bit more lip or whatever. Lipstick's actually one thing that I feel like I'm being more and more drawn to lately. Like, forget the rest of the face, put a lip on, it's great. You know what I mean? I love that. I really, the boys don't, my kids don't love it quite so much, but the chickens do, it's all fine. I love a lip. And, you know, Candace Brown, she has a lip of, like I say with my clothes about lifting my mood, for her, it's her lip.
Yeah.
So it should definitely be included in style, because I think that's how we express ourselves.
Gorgeous. Are there any trends that you have repeatedly tried to pull off and it's just not happening?
Oh dear. Jumpsuits I'm not very good at.
Really?
I'm not very good at a jumpsuit.
Oh my God, I would have thought jumpsuits perfect for you. But I suppose, well, you know, when you're on a trek and you're doing a wild wee, you've got to be almost completely naked.
Exactly that. Maybe it's how I make it look. I make it look more Annika Rice.
Right.
Like I'm about to complete a challenge. You know what I mean? Whereas some people do it on a night out and it looks great. That's not me. I'm about to give someone a surprise and take them off on an adventure.
Or fix their boiler, that kind of thing.
Exactly. That sort of thing. I just become a handyman, really.
Can I ask you what the oldest item of clothing that you have got that you still love is?
Ooh. It might be that poncho. I have all of my jumpers. I think jumpers are really difficult. I find clothes really difficult to get rid of. Mm. And which is also, I think, a funny thing as a woman whose weight fluctuates. You know, I go one stone up, one stone down. Like, you know, it's always going up and down. So I have bags of clothes from different sizes of different eras. And I think that's what I love about jumpers, like cozy jumpers. They will always work. Always. Mm. So, I would say it would have to be one of my jumpers. But which ones? My Christmas jumpers? Cannot get rid of Christmas jumpers. I love it in December. So we moved last year and it really upset me because I couldn't locate where our jumpers were. And you know that you only have a short window of time to get all of those Christmas jumpers worn and all of those Christmas, you know, fed, like spread the cheer from the 1st of December. Earlier if you can. Maybe even my Christmas jumpers that are just, they're just items that I would never get rid of, and every year I just get them out and they just fill me with memories of good times. Yeah, so I'm going to go Christmas jumpers with that one. Never going to get rid of them, ever.
That's so lovely. Is there an era that you wish you existed in just for the fashion?
60s. Oh. Absolutely 60s. The hair, the makeup, the dresses, the boots, you know, and you know, what a time to be alive in terms of music and that self-discovery, that self-expression that wasn't there before. Like, I just think everything about it. So I did a show called Backbeat, which followed the early days of the Beatles. So we were up in Glasgow for like 6 weeks, years ago, about 2009, I think. And you felt that. You felt that movement, you know, of kind of going, oh, you know, let's just celebrate life. And I think the clothes reflected that with their colours, their cuts. So absolutely, I for me, it would be going back to the 60s and just, it's the clothes, but it's everything that came along with that as well.
Yeah. The 60s is like, it's obviously loads of effort, those looks, the big hair and the, you know, like those things aren't necessarily easy to wear, but at the same time they are like a little skirt and some boots because the heels weren't enormous and sticky. They were quite, it's
chunky.
Just with,
they're chunky, so, that you can dance in.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about that as well. It's all about like freedom of movement so you can have a good bop, which I absolutely love. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. I love that.
Is there an item of clothing, and this can be a specific piece or just a type of clothing, that you put on and you instantly feel great and you feel like yourself in it?
I have a dress from a company called Wise, which I've had for a couple of years, and it's animal print and it's floaty. And it's one of those dresses that you can literally shove on. I love a shove on item. Just shove it on and it makes you feel good. It's kind of like a tent dress, really, but weirdly feels flattering. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's not many dresses that are like that, I don't think. Yeah. And it's a beautiful cut. So it's animal print. I think it's because it's a little bit snug on the top and then just does its thing below.
Is it a buffet dress?
What? Can I Google a buffet?
Yeah.
Is that a dress that you take to the buffet with you?
It's literally so you can go to a buffet, yeah. So it's like tighter at the top and then it comes out sort of, they're very sort of, in fact, the kind of thing you would wear with like chunky trainers. They're very big for a couple of years.
Yes.
And yes. So it's
yes, absolutely. It is a buffet dress. Which just makes me love it even more. Sorry, darling, I've just got to go get my buffet dress on before we go down to dinner. But it's an item you can take on the school run, you can wear to dinner. You like it, I absolutely love it. Best thing about it is it has pockets. I love a dress with pockets. Absolutely love. I don't understand why women are meant to live through life without pockets and dresses. I think that's barbaric. However, in this house that we're living in now, the door handles are at the right height for my pockets. It caught it. So it's hanging still up in my wardrobe, waiting for a time for me to be able to sit down and repair it. nightmare.
That is bad.
I've got the same buffet dress, but in a blue. It still makes me feel nice. It's a different... But there was something about the print of that one that just made me feel, bam,
of
I'm
course.
Here. But in a comfy, glorious way.
Yeah. It sounds like the best of everything. I think I'm slightly too short for a buffet dress. I have sort of flirted with them before, and it's never quite right because I've got a lot of boobs and then very short legs. I just look like sort of some comedy doll, but not in a good way.
So what do you wear to the buffet?
What do I wear to the buffet? A very stretchy, forgiving, quite cool tracksuit is what
nice.
I would wear.
Nice. Okay, yeah. We'll take that.
Full, right, full Elton John, a comfy statement tracksuit. Can I ask you what your relationship like is with shopping? Is it something that like, oh, you love it, or are you like, no, it's I'll leave it to the last minute to do, or oh, I'll delegate that to a stylist, or is it like, oh, I love going in and touching things? Is it you like doing it online? Because I know some people have got a difficult relationship, and some people they love it.
Yeah. Well, since having kids, I do a lot of online stuff, to be honest, which sometimes means that things turn up and you're like, oh, wow, I don't remember ordering that during a sleepy night feed. and then because I'd done it for such a long time, it felt really weird walking into a shop. So there have definitely been certain times where I would have to put headphones on when I'm going into shops, just because I found the whole thing about being out a little bit overwhelming. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the last time I tried on an item of clothing in a changing room.
Wow.
And whether that's because I'm going to brands that I trust and I'm just kind of like, I have that in a different colour, it will fit, you know. Or, you know, whether I'm just spending too much time in Lucy and Yak and wearing everything baggy. I don't know. It could be that. Generally, I would say that I tend to shop online. But then, I mean, I've gone through periods of time where I've loved shopping, but then I think I have that image in my head of, you know, these American girls who love going shopping, bags over their shoulder and just like tottering around the shops. That's never been me. That's never been how I've hung out. Shops for me, you know, it was going around VHS with my mum, you know, us three siblings kind of following mum around Romford or Ilford or whatever. And, you know, waiting to see where we were going to get Dinky Donuts at the end of it. You know, that's what our thing was, or walking around the markets and stuff. And I think it was one of those things that shopping was just a thing that mum had to do the shopping and we had to go along for the ride. So I think growing up, it was never something that was particularly a treat, which I feel bad saying because I know how hard mum and dad work for their money. So to be able to go on trips and buy us things, that's a really ungrateful kid thing to say. And mum, when we were, it took her, so basically she did used to drive, then she had a crash and she didn't drive at all. She does drive now, but we used to get the bus everywhere. And when we were going places, mum would literally be one of those mums where we'd be arguing and mum would be like, if you keep on arguing, we're going to go home right now. And we'd obviously keep on arguing and we would go home. Like she would proper follow through on that. I don't know. I don't know how mum managed to do all the shopping and stuff, but it definitely has. I don't see it as an enjoyable, you know, retail therapy type thing. And I think that's also linked with how we feel about our bodies, right? And in fact, I can remember the last time I went shopping. So it was about 6 months ago, and I can remember going into a shop, into different shops, and trying things on in one shop in what I thought was my size, and not a single thing fitting me. Not a single item at all. And then going into a different shop and trying on my normal size, and everything fitting, and just being like, what on earth is like a really weird. But what I would do in that situation is I wouldn't buy what was in the shop. I would weirdly go, I'm going to go and buy this online. I don't know why I do that, rather than just leaving the shop with actual items. But yeah, I find that really intimidating, being in that setting and kind of having to leave the changing rooms and kind of going, no, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit. Like, it doesn't matter, does it? The clothes don't fit your body. Like, the clothes have to change, not your body.
I know.
It's a weird thing, I think, that the society that we've grown up in.
That is something I still find so difficult when I, especially, I've had it as well where I'm like, oh, just go size up and then it'll definitely fit, and it doesn't fit. And I'm like, oh, shit. And you're just angry at your body, not the very imprecise item of clothing.
Exactly. It's imprecise. And then we look at, like, different documentaries and stuff about how clothes are made. Like, nothing is ever the same size.
No.
Nothing is a true, you know, and it's all just... I can remember being a lot younger and being like, well, I'm not going to wear it if it's in that size. Yeah. What? Does that make you feel good? Then wear it. Yeah. Doesn't matter what numbers in the trouser bottoms or whatever.
But that for me, for years and years, and you know, still sometimes now as well, when you're saying, does it make you feel good? It was the number that was making me feel good, not necessarily yes. the piece of clothing, which is yes. really sad.
But then what is that? Is that us buying the clothing and then just cutting the number out? Do you know what I mean? Because then it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
Would you not buy yeah. that clothing because of the number?
I'd be more inclined to buy something if it had a lower number. But would I buy... Yeah. I think now I would just get it. I wouldn't care. I just think
yeah.
I wouldn't care. But I also know if something gets too big for me, I'm like, oh, check me out. Like, that stuff is still in there and you're having to sort of yeah. try and reprogram your brain all
but
the time.
But it's so ingrained. It's so yeah. ingrained. It's how, you know, it's how we've been raised and what we've been spoon-fed in terms yeah. of how we should feel about ourselves. And, you know, I think as we get older and we learn about how these massive industries, it just, in some ways, it frees us. In other ways, it kind of makes me go, well, I've got to, you know, this is a big battle in my head that yep. I need to.
It's a full-time job.
Keep going.
Like, for yeah. they're spending a lot of money getting in your head, so you have to work very hard to get it out. What are you like with secondhand or like thrifting or charity shops, that kind of thing? Have you got anything secondhand? What's the best thing you've ever got?
Oh, so when I was up in Glasgow a few years ago, they've got some great sort of secondhand retro shops. I got this really nice, it was actually like a woolly cardigan that just has one button at the top, but it had a really nice pattern on it. One of those items that you can literally just chuck on, my chuckable items that I love, but it felt warm. And I love the fact that it came with a history and you kind of make that up in your head, like, who's worn this before me? In terms of secondhand shops, I love going to the ones that are a little bit more retro because I feel like they come with different sort of a history that's very different yeah. to the here and now. But I love it. You know, I don't think, you know, with our changing bodies, with fashion changing, I think people get rid of items that have so much life left in them. Yeah, so I love having a little rummage. In fact, I prefer having a little rummage in those sorts of places, I think, than shops.
Your style that you have now, let's talk about the future. Do you think this is it? You're locked in. The colourful, ready for an adventure, you'll be like that when you're 90, you'll be in those dungarees. Or do you see it changing as you get older again?
I think it will change. I'd like to think that some of that stays. You know, if I think about 10 years ago, I was doing the colour thing, but with blouses, you know, with like a shirt and trousers and stuff. I'd like to think that colour, the comfort will stay, no matter what that looks like. Yeah, I hope to never conform to what is going on. I think if there are some big movements and people, I'm like, oh, well, look at that jumpsuit that now I feel like I can wear. In 10 years, you'll see me in a jumpsuit and the life will change. You know, I think it's that thing, isn't it? When you're 18, I feel like mentally you kind of go, I'm an adult now and I know everything about the world. And actually you realise that you don't at all. And even now, we don't know everything about the world. We don't know everything about ourselves. Everything is evolving and changing. And I think your style leans into that. All I hope is that I never get sucked into what people are telling me I should be wearing, and I just keep using it to express how I'm feeling and to help aid how I feel.
Is there an item of clothing, and that can be, again, a certain piece or a type of clothing, you can always see yourself wearing?
It's hard, isn't it? Because then I'm seeing myself as a 80 in the care home, so what am I wearing now?
Well, you're meant to shrink, aren't you, so you can finally wear that poncho again.
There we go! Do you know what I really hope? I hope that when I'm in my 80s, the blue rinse comes back, because I feel like it's a shame that it's not yeah. there as much. You know, I feel like it was that was a thing. And maybe we're the generation to bring it back. What do I always see myself in? Colour. So not necessarily a specific item, but colour. Actually, Crocs. I hope Crocs stay with me for life. I know they're controversial, but they're comfy. Fair and play. With socks.
Goodness me. Okay. I mean, we're nearly at the end of this. What an absolute punch out there to leave people on.
But and also, I mean, talk about expressing yourself. They come in all sorts of colours. You can put loads of badges on them. You know, you've got your little slogans. You've got this, you know. Or just little... I love a croc. I do love a croc. You're shaking your head in shame. I'm so sorry.
This episode is brought to you by Etsy. Sound the gifting panic alarm. You need to get an amazing gift. Wait, no, the perfect gift. Relax. Now you can use gift mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting, so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion. It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com. Then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner or a birthday present for the pickleballer, Gift Mode has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Final two questions. So penultimate yes. question is, are there any trends that you hope never come back?
Oh, I don't understand the underboob. I don't understand that.
Yeah, the visible underboob came out.
Yeah, that came out and I was like, I'm so old. Like, that is not, no.
Mine is so heavy as well that I'm like, what, you want to see up just above my hip bone?
Yeah, would you stop it all coming out? Do you know what I mean? I feel like maybe we've gone away from the underboob and the side boob. I don't know, though. I don't know. I'm just thankful that I was never in it. Yeah, yes. No. For me, that's a style that I never took on and I never wish to. If you see me on a red carpet with a side boob or under boob, please run at me and cover me up.
It's an error.
It's an error. It's not meant to happen.
That is a wardrobe malfunction, not a statement.
Exactly.
Final question. What would you want to wear to be buried or cremated in, or, you know, blasted out of a rocket? And what's the final outfit for you?
I'm surprised we've not talked about this actually, because we've just done our wills and kind of finally, after being married for so long and being together for 20 something years, and I'm surprised that we haven't talked about this. Surprisingly, I don't think I want to be buried in dungarees. Surprisingly, I don't. I for me, it would be, oh, I'd love to say get married in my wedding dress, but it would add so much weight to the whoever's lifting it in. But maybe that would be the only time that I fit back into it in death. Just squeeze her ribs, break a rib. It'll get her in. Come on. But that's one outfit that, you know, meant so much to me. And so my wedding dress would be amazing. But do you know what? I just think a really pretty, colourful dress, just something that celebrate me, celebrate my life, you know, just yeah, I would say something like that in this moment. That's a question that asked me tomorrow and I would give you a different answer. However, my nonna, my nonna was in her 90s, she lived in Italy, she only spoke Italian, and my Italian is really, really bad and minimal. Basically, it's just her shouting at me and me trying to pick up a few words. But whenever we would go over, for the last 10 years of her life, she would take me and my sister to her wardrobe, she would get out an outfit, she would show us her shoes and show us her tights. And that was the set thing that she, you know, wanted us to know that she wanted to be buried in. And that actually in Italian culture is such a massive thing to know, you know, you're literally, it's essentially your Sunday best, you know, you've got this special outfit. Wow. So that when you, my nonna was a very religious woman. And so, you know, when she went and, you know, met her creator or however you want to word it, she wanted to know that she looked the part.
I love that your nonna did that, because also, you know, when you get an outfit and you want to show, and you're like, I'm dying to wear this. Like, I'm so excited for the occasion I get to wear this. It's a bit like doing that and be like, I've got the ultimate occasion to wear this. And it's when I'm going to go to the other side and, you, as you say, meet my maker, and this is what I'm going to be wearing for it. What? Because I love planning outfits. That's the ultimate outfit planning.
I can remember one time there being two different types of shoes, you know, both wide shoes, then, you know, whatever else. But, you know, just kind of, what do you think? What's best? But again, you know, you're talking about You're talking about a woman who, you know, my nonna had nothing. Valva was like a little farming community, and there was a massive earthquake over 40 years ago, which obliterated their lives and took away everything. So here's a woman who saved up her money to have this special outfit that she's, you know, not going to have worn any other time, but is for her final moment. That's part of it, though, isn't it? When you have gone through hard times and your faith is so important and in getting you through, that's the ultimate thank you, isn't it? Is going and meeting that person in your Sunday best. But it was something that she didn't shy away from talking about. So it is actually something that we should think about more. And I might wake up tomorrow and go, why did you say a pretty dress? But right now, that is how I'm feeling. Give me all the sparkles, all the colours. Let's celebrate.
Oh, let's celebrate indeed, Chief Fletcher there. I mean, is it offensive to describe a guest as Dora the Explorer? Maybe. Also, love the hot slice of goss about the BBC banning dungarees from presenters. Cannot wait to see that headline in the Daily Mail. I keep thinking about that poor poncho. I really do hope she's held on to it, you know. God, it's such a tough lesson to us all, isn't it? When it comes to wool in the washing machine. And I feel like you've got to learn that one the hard way. I genuinely think about my Fred Perry jumper that I ruined once a week. Another high point for me is G's version of swapping jumpers to get into a nightclub. But in her and her mate's case, just using your vest top as a skirt. No big deal. Bra out, best foot forward. Yes, please. I love that episode. It was really joyous. By the way, I wanted to jump in here and say, if you want to come along to a swap, don't shop. Now, these are the events that I organise with my lovely group of pals, where basically you bring along your five best item of clothes that you never wear anymore. You come back a few hours later and then you just do a swap with what's in the room. And it's very joyous, circular fashion. So you get that, in my case, the kick that you get from buying things that I'm trying to break up with, but you know, baby steps. You get all that feeling, but with none of the feeling I have afterwards of like, oh, I've just bought something. I don't know if I know if it's going to be ethical, you know, all that kind of stuff. Oh no, I'm adding to the problem. You basically go home with a nice new wardrobe. It's so feel good and so fun. We're doing one on December 10th in London at the London Welsh Centre. If you want more details about that, come along. It'll be so good. Also, I'm getting rid of a load of sequins I've worn on the old telly box. So if you fancy those, all the information will be on Instagram at swap_don't_shop_. There's a few tickets left. You can't just rock up on the day, so make sure you book a ticket. Now then, I was trying to think of a small business to sort of pair with this episode. And I wanted something that had like comfort at its heart. And was like, gee, in its celebratory, colourful, pro-women. And it led me straight to the female-founded, female-run Spark Company. So this is clothing that puts just equality at the centre of all its accessories, all its clothes, and often right across the slogan on your chest. They do a banging line in comfy clothes, sizes 6 to 26. Their clothes say plenty. And I first found them when my pal bought me a T-shirt that says, "Well-behaved women rarely make history." Which is so cool, isn't it? But to be fair, this is also the woman who remembers me from the days when I drank gin from a handbag. But I like to think most people would just look at that T-shirt and pick up on the broader message. So the clothing uses 100% vegan dyes. They use plastic-free packaging. It's made by people who are paid properly for their time, treated fairly, no sweatshops, no child labour. And they operate a zero-waste policy as well. Also, every time you buy something from them, they make a donation to the magnificent Bloody Good Period, an organisation that works to eradicate period poverty. I love that they put intersectional feminism at the heart of their business. I think it's great. It's a beautiful thing to see that, isn't it? Because so often we're taught that to have a business, you have to compromise your morals and sort of people have to end up worse off. But it's not true. Look at Spark Company. We're not free until we're all free, guys. It's a lovely business to support if you're looking for a Christmas present for a militant feminist, which I genuinely always am. Spark Company, that is the one. Go and seek them out. You can message us on our Instagram, which is at whoyouwearingpod. You can also go there to find pictures of some of G's best outfits over the years. And if you want to send us anything longer, you can email us on whoyouwearing.com. @gmail.com. I'm going to be back next week with a brand new guest, a brand new indie business, and I'm going to be chatting to author and queen of a theme, lover of pink, Scarlett Curtis. See you then. Who Are You Wearing is produced by Joe Southard, the artwork is by Mary Phillips, and the music is by Annie Glass. This has been a Little Wonder production.